Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about.
Your football talk, your way.
Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Last few moments with Brian Bacco, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits with you on the Pomp and Joe Show. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly.
Do you know that we've been saying that since I was an intern here?
Really?
Yes. And this was like 2012.
No way.
Yes.
We've been cooking for a long time,
yes.
Brian.
Yes, with Mr. Hester.
You still talk to Ron at all? Have you heard? When's the last time you heard from Ron?
What was his last Steelers game he covered?
It wasn't the Buffalo playoff game.
That
didn't
would
go
be
to
the
that.
Answer. No, I did. I did text him after his retirement news came out. So
that's right, indeed. You know, Ron, when he was down in Florida during the hurricane, I texted him and he ended up being okay, which was good news. That was the last time I heard from him, though. Did you ever hear of the beef that Ron and Harry Callis have?
No.
So Crowley and Callis went to the Pirates home opener and they saw this guy that they thought looked like Ron. So they thought that they'd tweet it out and say, Callis saying, hey, I met Ron Cook, and Ron saw it. You know, Ron, who's like never on Twitter, saw it. Do you ever wonder if Ron is like listening one day? Joe thinks he never listens at all. But I think Ron maybe tunes in once in a blue moon.
I don't know about that one.
So Ron saw it and reached out to Harry and was like, Harry, I thought that we were closer than this. I can't believe you'd say something like this about me. I'm very upset. And Harry was basically like, it's just a joke, Ron. It's just a joke, Ron.
I mean, that's always a tough look when you overestimate your personal relationship or connection with somebody.
Yeah.
And then you fire off a joke that just doesn't land. And it's awkward for everybody. I don't know how it ended, but I feel like Callis probably should have just, you know, dropped any pretense and just say, hey, you know, my bad. I screwed up. I apologize.
I think that probably would have been the best route to go. Let's go to the fan hotline to our buddy Southside Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Oh, we're great.
Doing well. Thank you.
Austin, it's good to hear you on the other side of the glass, as you say.
Good to talk to you, man.
Anyways, I did want to mention something here. You said earlier that the Steelers need to start paying guys on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know. I mean, I obviously agree with that, but do we know, like, they are capable of knowing who to pay on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, for example, I know this guy had a good game last week, and, you know, he's a good red zone target. But I think there's been four or five games that number 88 has been under 25 yards. Like, you can't have that whenever you're making $12 million a year. I'm sorry. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, and Jake, I think part of that is, and Brian might be able to speak better to it than me, I've really found it interesting because watching the Falcons game, not to reference it again last night, Kyle Pitts is a weapon when they can use him in Atlanta. But supposedly the Arthur Smith offense was so dialed in on, we heard coming in that the Arthur Smith offense was heavy on tight ends, and tight ends thrive in the Arthur Smith offense. And unless your name is Michael Pruitt playing more than you really should, and occasionally Pat Freiermuth, I don't see tight ends thriving in the Arthur Smith offense, Brian. I really don't. Like, I thought Freiermuth, especially with only one receiver that you can truly count on in George Pickens, and when Pickens was out, it was surprising to me that they did not target Freiermuth 6, 7, 8 times a game. And we appreciate it, Jake. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, just to play devil's advocate, I mean, I think some of it is circumstantial. Russell Wilson has never necessarily been a big guy targeting tight ends either. So that was kind of a, you know, double-edged sword there with how Freiermuth was going to do production-wise this year. But I'll say this much. He's making a lot relative to the rest of the guys on this offense, but he's right behind Cole Kmet in tight end salary right now. He's right above Dalton Schultz. I think that's fair for Pat Freiermuth.
I think so.
It's not like he held the Steelers over a barrel and said, pay me like George Kittle or Travis Kelce or anything like that. It ended up being a pretty realistic negotiation for both sides in my mind. And he's been very reliable. And I think another big thing, Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, they always kind of stress this. You don't have to worry about him piping up when he's not getting targets and when he's not contributing in the box score. I mean, he's a team guy that way. You don't just pay the people who are good soldiers for the franchise. I mean, you also have to be a good player and talented, but I still think Freiermuth's a good mix of both of those, and it's on them to get him more involved, scheme him open. It's also on him to make plays when they come his way, and you know, the fumble against the Chiefs the other day was not one of his finer moments.
And he's been targeted over the last 5 games, 27 times. He's caught the ball 22 times. Overall this year, 67 targets, 57 catches. When you throw him the ball, outside of like one time a game, he's going to catch it.
He had that, the one drop, the big one I can remember from him this year, I think was week 3 against the Chargers, where Justin Fields just dropped an absolute dime to him over the middle at the end of the first half, and he let it slip through his hands. And he took accountability for that. It ended up not mattering because they won. But I think Pat Freiermuth's a guy that you can win with. He's making a reasonable salary for a number one tight end in the NFL. And, you know, to Jake's point there, we'll see what they make of the George Pickens conundrum and what to do with him. I guess it could go a number of ways. Do you extend him? Do you franchise tag him? Let him play it out. How's he going to respond to that? Do you look for suitors this offseason if you feel like he's a guy you can't win with because of all the headaches? I don't know. As good as he is, and I've been as high on his talent as anybody, look around the league right now and all the young wide receivers who are coming in here and doing George Pickens-like numbers. Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers in this draft class alone. It's great to have a guy who can go win one-on-one 50-50 balls on the outside like that. And we've seen what George can do with good quarterback play, but colleges are churning out guys like that year in and year out. I'm not saying receivers are going the way of running back all of a sudden, but I don't think you can let George Pickens hold you hostage at the bargaining table because he's far and away a top 5 wide receiver or anything like that. That's just not realistic.
I heard you say that on the Showdown last night, and it kind of made me think this. What if, like, if the wide receivers, and wide receivers have been going early and often, especially in the top 20 picks, more so than they have in previous years. Let's say the Steelers, hypothetically, they'd pick 22 right now, maybe 23, depending on if they win their divisional, their wild card round game, and then maybe hypothetically losing a divisional round. If that's the case, they'd pick 25th. If some of those wide receivers are not there, would you consider moving Pat Freiermuth to maybe like a slot wide receiver / tight end role and draft a weapon like Penn State's Tyler Warren at tight end, who won the Mackey Award? You could play him at tight end. You could play him at receiver. You could also space them out and do some direct snaps like they do in Happy Valley.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes kind of a positionless football type of argument and just get the best 5 eligibles that you can.
Because Pat's good in the slot.
Yeah, he is. And Darnell Washington hasn't really taken that second year leap. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me that he's never going to be much of a volume pass catcher in the NFL. I mean, I'd like to see them use him more in the red zone, but you know, between the 20s, I don't know how much he's ever going to be involved that way. Connor Hayward's basically completely vanished from the game plan. So
don't forget about my Cole Pruitt, our Cole Pruitt. Everyone's Cole Pruitt out there taking snaps.
Great 1 yard catch against the Ravens. Mike Tomlin, as he said on Hard Knocks, glad he gave him a hat that week. So, I mean, yeah, I think you could make a case for maybe working another tight end into the mix, but I'd certainly target a receiver more than anything. And, you know, Roman Wilson's getting his redshirt year. Maybe he will be able to contribute like all the other rookies in this fantastic 2024 draft class. It'd be a real shame for the Steelers if they ended up with the one guy in the top three rounds who kind of turned into, you know, somebody who doesn't really pan out.
Do you think the Steelers really missed the boat at the deadline by getting Mike Williams and not getting Adam Thielen, who seemingly was being shopped? Obviously, he stayed in Carolina.
He's making some plays. Yep.
I mean, if you give up, maybe you probably could have got him for maybe a fourth, I would imagine. He would probably be a significant difference maker right now. He's become a legitimate threat with Carolina.
Well, my thing with that is, why did they sit back and wait so long until the very end to get Mike Williams when they could have jumped on DeAndre Hopkins for like a conditional fifth round pick?
Yeah, that was a head scratcher.
Made too much sense.
Keenan Allen was another guy I thought maybe they should have pursued this offseason. You know, the Bears end up getting him from the Chargers.
Next to nothing.
Right. And I don't know if he's washed or not at this point, but, you know, that was kind of the same question with Thielen. But here's the thing, though, Sean. I mean, it's Mike Williams. It's not like we're watching balls go through his hands. I mean, he's just not getting thrown to very often. So whether it was Williams, Thielen, Hopkins, Jacoby Myers, whoever else we talked about that whole month of October, would any of them have slotted seamlessly into this offense, or would they all have been kind of in a holding pattern trying to jump on the moving train?
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township. Visit them at South Hills Kia. Visit them. Oh, I almost said the text line. Let's do that again. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brian, we got about a minute left. Mike Tomlin spoke about how Jaylen Warren is a little bit banged up. How much would you play him in this game, considering all the circumstances? I want everybody to be a full go, but if Warren is hurt, don't want him to get even worse into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that may complicate a little bit all the people out there who want this to become the Warren show, take a seat, Najee Harris. I'm not one of those. I mean, I'll be the first to say Warren's looked like the better back recently, maybe even for the last month and change. But I still think Najee Harris has gotten better as seasons have gone on. He's still a tough runner. I think he can still be a good complement to Warren or vice versa as we come down the stretch here.
Do you think they're going to win against Cincinnati? I know it's still a long way out, but
I'm probably going to pick them, because I think the Bengals, as much good juju as they have going right now, they understand the situation here for the Broncos and the Chiefs. They know they're probably not going to be in the playoffs even if they win this game. I think the Steelers will probably find a way to win, but certainly could see it going either way.
It'll be a fun Saturday night on the North Shore, Brian. I don't think any of us expected it to be Saturday night instead of maybe a 1 o'clock game, a 4:30 game. A lot of people have been vocal about the start time to the
game.
None
of the beat writers are happy about that, but I know you guys don't care what we think.
Football at night in prime time is fun to watch, but I understand your sentiments. I really do.
Get home at my house at 2
a.m. At like 2 in the morning. So, yeah.
I'm done complaining.
Fully understand that. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. Up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Showers today and cooler with a high of 49 and a low of 34. Thanks to Brian Bacco for coming in today for the Mike Tomlin press conference and much more. Thanks to Sean Myers behind the glass for producing.
Bye, Sean. Bye, Austin.
Austin Bechtold.
Goodbye.
In for the Pump and Joe show. Pump will be back tomorrow. Joe, we'll be back soon. Farewell. See everybody. The PM team is next.